Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Muli nating makakasama sa programa ang finance strategist at mortgage broker na nakabase sa New South Wales, Jerry O'Brien. Magandang araw, Jerry.
Magandang araw. Thanks for having me again.
It's an honor to have you, Jerry. Pagdating sa pera, talagang ikaw yung tinatakbuhan ko. Hindi inuutangan, kundi hinihinga ng payo. Baka akala nila inuutangan kita. Anyway, Jerry, eto nga, kamakailan, opisyal na nga na inanunsyo na in-recession na ang bansang Australia matapos ang tatlong dekada. So in simpler terms, Jerry, pag sinabi nating recession, ano ba yung ibig sabihin nito at ano ang nangyayari sa isang recession?
In terms of sa technicalities nun, so for a country to be in recession, so kailangan dalawang quarter tayong naka-negative growth. So yung GDP natin, so meaning yung cost of goods and cost of services natin, yung pag-produce nun, bumababa. So, kung in a span of dalawang quarter ay continuous yung negative growth natin, then that's the time na masasabi na nasa recession tayo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, during recession, kung anumang nangyari dito ay usually talaga, the main effect para sa akin na, the main effect ng recession is ang reduction ng take-home pay, or worse, mawalan talaga ng take-home pay in the in terms of job loss, no?
Mm-mm.
So dito kasi usually ang epekto nito sa pamilya ay may isang nawawalan ng trabaho or dalawa silang na, let's say husband and wife, na nag-reduce yung hours. So dito talaga malaking dagok ito sa household dahil may certain liabilities tayo. Syempre, iba-iba yan kung single tayo as opposed to husband and wife with one kid or dalawang anak. Mm-hmm. Then, iba-iba yung ano natin, yung living expenses, kumbaga. So, the main effect talaga nun is yung pag nawalan ng sweldo or na nabawasan yung sweldo, nagbabago ang lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So, pag nagbago ang lifestyle, dito na tayo nag-iisip na, oh, instead na frequent tayong lumalabas or let's say every weekend sa labas tayo nagbe-breakfast, maaaring hindi na mangyari yun. Dahil nga nagtitipid na tayo. And ang flow-on effect naman nun ay makaka-apekto rin sa mga small businesses na nasa paligid natin. So yung binibilhan natin ng kape ng malimit, minsan hindi na natin na makaka-afford na bumili pa sa labas. So may loss ng income din sila. So overall talaga, ang main effect para sa akin ng recession ay yung either the job loss or yung reduction ng pay.
Main contributing factor itong COVID-19 pandemic, kaya nagka-recession tayo.
Tama. So this recession that we're having now is yung COVID-19-induced recession, which is really an event na kung titingnan natin over the past 29 years sa Australia, this is again one of the first sa loob ng almost 3 decades, no?
Mm-hmm.
Dahil ang main na naapektuhan, base sa statistics na meron ako, main naapektuhan ay yung transport natin. So bumagsak mm-hmm. yung turnover nila ng 88%.
Mm-hmm.
Napakalaki nun.
mm-hmm.
So meaning, kasi dahil nga sa lockdown, konti lang yung lumalabas, mga accommodation businesses natin bumagsak ng 77%.
Mm-mm.
And yung recreation ay down to 54%. So, in effect talaga, ang sabi dito sa stats ay bumagsak ang household spending ng $35 billion. So, meron transport, yung accommodation businesses, and yung mga recreation. So, dito mm-hmm. rin yung mga restaurants pumapasok, yung restaurants, yung mga retail. Mm-hmm. So, yung mag-shopping natin, nabawasan kasi nga, syempre, takot sa paglabas and nakadagdag rin yung lockdown, especially sa Melbourne, di ba?
Yes.
So, yeah, itong epekto nito, nabawasan talagang spending ng tao, and in effect, yung mga businesses, nabawasan yung kita. So, talagang, ano, sama-sama tayo sa pagbagsak overall, kaya tayo nasa recession ngayon.
In terms of survival naman, no, paano tayo makakasurvive sa mga panahong ito?
Meron akong hinanda na tatlong tips para dito. Actually, marami akong naihanda, pero ililimitahan lang natin sa tatlong tips.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi On a positive note, dito sa mga negative na numbers na nasa akin, na mga sinabi ko, on a positive note naman, due to the lockdown rin and yung reduced spending natin, ang savings rate natin in Australia ay umangat to 19%. Meaning, sa loob ng June quarter lang, nakaipon tayo or ng 42 billion ang hindi natin naigasta.
Okay.
So ganun kalaki ang naipon natin in terms of dahil nga hindi tayo makalabas or hindi we chose not to go out dahil nga sa pandemic. So in saying that, meron akong tatlong tips na naihanda. So the number one talaga ang gusto kong i-point out dito is know your minimum living expenses number. Okay? So kailangan talaga natin alamin kung magkano yung pinakakailangan mo to live. Okay? Make it a very, very simple list. So ano ba yung mga non-negotiables? Either your rent or your mortgage. Yan yung mga kailangan mo talagang bayaran. Otherwise, wala kang matitirahan.
Yes.
Meron ka rin utility na kailangan bayaran. Yung food expense mo, ang kailangan rin i-budget. And yung prepayment sa mga liability mo. So kung merong mortgage, kung meron kang credit card, personal loan, car loan, kailangan i-allocate mo yan. So just focus on try to create a very simple list lang ng mga non-negotiables, yung mga kailangan mo talagang bayaran for you to live.
Yung mga pangangailangan.
Oo, yes. Mga necessity. Mm-hmm. So yan yung talagang kailangan mong malaman kung magkano yung number na yon. Okay, so forget about the budgeting for holidays, forget about yung sa mga gifts or ganyan.
Yes.
Ang gusto ko lang malaman natin dito ay yung minimum living expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay,
so I'll just give you an example. For myself, ang minimum living expenses namin ay nasa 3,500. Okay, dito yun sa buong family, sa buong family ko, yun yung kailangan namin to live.
With one kid, tama ba, Jerry?
Me and my wife, one kid, mm-hmm. pero meron pa akong dalawang kamag-anak na kasama rin namin. So, my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law.
Okay.
So, 3,500, this is accounting for, iba yung situation ko kasi may mga investments kami. So, I accounted for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, pero sa simple list, kailangan talaga yung mga necessities. So once na malaman mo na yan, yung minimum living expenses number mo, so in our example, 3,500, pupunta tayo sa number two. Number two tip is double down on your emergency funds. Dito talaga papasok yan dahil ang daming uncertainties ngayon.
Yes. Hindi
natin alam kung may job pa tayo in 3 months time or even next week. Diba? Hindi.
Yes.
Ito, dito talaga papasok ang emergency funds. So yung minimum living expenses number na yan, that can be classed as your emergency fund. So in my instance, 3,500 per month. Now, iba-iba tayo ng risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Ano ang makakapagpatulog sa'yo at night knowing na kung mawalan man ng work kayong husband and wife, you have this much in your emergency fund to survive sa loob ng 3 buwan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Ang sa akin, ang risk tolerance ko is 2 to 3 months kasi base sa skill ko, I'm confident na within those months, kaya ko makahanap ng isa pang trabaho. Pero again, iba-iba tayo ng circumstances, so alamin niyo yung yung risk tolerance niyo for it.
Mm-hmm.
Ang safe number daw ay 6 months na minimum living expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, sa mga tao na wala pang emergency fund na naka-set up, focus on getting 1 month lang.
Kahit 1 month.
So alamin mo muna yung number one,
mm-mm.
which is yung minimum living expenses number,
yep.
and save up para makatabi ka ng 1 month.
Mm-mm.
Okay? And then mag-flow on effect na yan. So continue on para may 2 months ka na buffer, tapos 3 months, tapos until 6 months.
Okay. Jerry, sorry to interrupt. Question lang, pag sinabi mong emergency fund, ito ba yung mga naipo natin, savings natin?
Maaaring kasi ma-classify pa yan sa iba't ibang parte. Kasi savings, may iba kasi na nagbabudget ng isang account lang for savings,
yes.
tapos doon na rin niya kinukuha yung for investing or doon na rin yung kinukuha yung pampadala sa Pinas, alam mo naman tayo. I classify emergency funds as yung kung mawalan ka man ng work, ito yung kaya mo pang dumukot dito for you to live.
Okay.
At makahanap ka pa ng next work mo or ng kapalit na income.
Yes.
Yun yung classification ko ng emergency fund. Moving on sa number three, dahil nga we are forced to stay at home, especially over the past few weeks, isa sa tip ko talaga is to upskill yourself. Ang daming courses online to teach you a new skill. Now, yung new skill na yan, try to make it a point na yung skill na yan would generate you another source of income later on. Kasi itong pandemic gave us a glimpse of what our situation will be pag umabot tayo ng retirement at wala pa tayong multiple income stream or wala pa tayong emergency funds na nakaset up. Ito ang glimpse ng kung hindi mo paghahandaan ang retirement mo, ito ang mangyari sa'yo. Nakaasa tayo sa JobKeeper, nakaasa tayo sa government support, which is still good, but it's not gonna last for a long time, di ba?
Yes, and speaking of JobKeeper, kung nakadepende naman sa JobKeeper yung ating mga kababayan, Jerry, paano nila pwedeng ma-maximize yung kanilang pera? Kasi as you mentioned, may hangganan itong JobKeeper. I think matatapos siya early next year.
So given na naka-JobKeeper na ang tao na yon, then alam natin either nag-reduce na yung salary niya at nag-adjust na yung lifestyle niya. So, doon na rin siya papasok sa point na, okay, nabawasan or kailangan ko nang bawasan yung mga unnecessary spending ko.
Yes.
So, dito papasok yung tip number one na knowing your minimum living expenses number and focus talaga to going to tip number two to save up yung emergency fund. So, alam ko limited lang ang nakukuha natin sa JobKeeper.
Yes.
Pero dahil nga kahit limited pa yan, mag-a-adjust na yung lifestyle eh. So, yung paglabas-labas natin, nabawasan na.
Yes.
So, maaaring enough na talaga ang JobKeeper niyan for you to live. And then, dun mo na, kung enough na yon at wala ka nang maitabi for the emergency fund for now, then gawin mo yung tip number three, which is upskill yourself. Ang daming ways to earn online.
Correct.
I mean, I can give the example like affiliate marketing na maghahanap ka lang ng product and kung nagustuhan mo yung product na yon, you can just post the link and just say na ito talaga ang malaking tulong tong product na to sa akin. At kung may maka-resonate sa iyo at may bumili, you get a commission out of that.
Yes.
So hindi mo kailangan bumili ng product na yon, hindi mo kailangan maglabas ng pera. You're just there to be an affiliate marketer for that particular product. Okay, another example is kung magaling ka sa design, you can create siguro mga electronic gift cards for mga small businesses, and you can do it siguro free muna para to build your portfolio. And then later on, once na maging expert ka na sa field na yan, then that's the time that you can monetize that and mag-create talaga ng income source on top of that. And as we know, YouTube is another source rin. So if you're good with videos and talking,
vlogging.
I guess, tama, vlogging. So you need to, find your strength and double down on it. Talagang mag-focus ka doon and try to monetize it para mag-create ng multiple income streams.
In short, dapat madiskarte ka sa mga panahong ito.
Exactly.
Oo. In terms of investment naman, Jerry, ito ba yung tamang panahon para sa mga nais mag-invest?
Alright. So, sasagutin nga sa two ways, sa dalawang spectrum. So, kung mag-i-start ka pa lang sa pag-i-invest, this is actually a shaky ground para sa mga newbie para mag-start mag-invest. Pero this is a perfect opportunity for you to learn. Kasi kung papasok ka man halimbawa sa stock market, dito may kita yung volatility ng pagtaas at pagbaba ng market as opposed to kung outside tayo ng pandemic or outside tayo ng recession, it's a fairly steady upswing. Kung sa market naman, sa property market, I mean sa real estate, again, this is the perfect time for you to study. Pero kung meron ka ng knowledge about this, then seek out mentorship sa iba na have done or narating na yung goal na gusto mong ma-achieve, and ask them questions around ano bang nangyari sa yun noon during the recession. That was like 2008 lang meron tayong recession sa sa US. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's a yes and a no. Yes, kung alam mo na yung ginagawa mo, kasi this is where opportunity, ang dami talaga opportunity right now to learn and to earn sa mga pag-deep ng market na yan, and kasi ang daming bagsak presyo na you can buy for cheap, whereas, you know, a year ago, iba ang presyuhan niya. So, yes, in a way na kung alam mo na yung ginagawa mo, and no, in a way, kung bago ka pa lang, but it's a perfect time for you to learn.
Yung mga gustong mag-invest, humingi sila ng gabay sa mga taong may experience.
Tama. And siguro, yun yung nag-push sa akin na mag-invest din eh. Kasi I've read so many articles about investing, pero yung knowledge na yon is only gonna give you confidence up to a certain extent.
Yes.
Pero pag nag-reach out ka na at nakausap mo na yung mga tao na tingin mo na-achieve na mga bagay na yon, which what I did talaga, naghanap ako ng ano, ng mentor, nag-check ako sa mga real estate groups kung sino yung malapit sa area ko.
Mm-mm.
And I contacted them, trinate ko sila sa coffee for 30 minutes of their time.
Mm-mm.
Para lang magabayan ako.
Mm-mm.
And from there, I created my own style of investing.
And can we say, Jerry, may upside ba itong recession?
Yes. Ang upside nito, as per the statistics then, is yung savings rate talaga natin na tumaas. Siguro, continue on monitoring your finances. This is the best time. Kasi most of us nasa bahay lang, medyo mas marami yung time natin. At mas nakikita natin, this is a reality check na kung wala tayong gagawin towards our emergency funds, towards our upskilling, and towards knowing our minimum living expenses number, then kung mangyari man ito ulit in the future, knock on wood,
yes,
alam natin kung paano na mag-react.
Very helpful tips mula po sa ating finance strategist, Jerry O'Brien.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.